relating to the series, A God of Covenant, is from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, beginning at verse 4. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Eden. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent out of bronze and put it up on a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. Thus ends the scripture lesson.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I will confess that I don't do a lot of reading in or preaching from the book of Numbers. I'm going to guess I'm not alone. In fact, if there wasn't a scripture in John where Jesus references this story, I'm going to guess that this thing about the snakes would never come up in the lectionary. It would instead rest in biblical obscurity, only to be dealt with in heady conversations by scholars, never actually reaching out into the realities of our lives. Some of us would maybe breathe a little bit easier if it didn't come up, if we didn't have to wrestle with this story, wrestle with its inclusion in our Bible, our go-to place for comfort and for hope. But here we are, confronted with snakes and sin and more honesty than comfort, perhaps. Here we are. The story begins, like many stories of the Israelites in the desert, with the ups and downs of God being faithful and the people continuing to grumble. This is actually the last in a series of stories containing the Israelites grumbling and complaining. Typically, they grumble about Moses and Aaron. Always, God seeks to give them what it is that they need. And that makes things okay again for a little while, until once again the Israelites start complaining again. But in this story, the Israelites don't just complain about Moses and Aaron, they complain about God. Moses is leading them in the way that God has commanded them to go, and that involves a detour, a delay, as they make their way around the land of Edom rather than the quicker way of going straight through it. We can understand that frustration, right? They've been in the wilderness for a really long time, like decades. We get impatient during a 15-minute traffic delay. I get impatient waiting in line at the grocery store. I do. But their impatience points to something deeper. It points to something more sinister at work. Their grumbling and complaining is doing something negative within them, as individuals and as a community. Because no matter how it feels, the reality is God has been with them, faithfully standing with them and providing for them. The stories that come before this one show that when they were hungry, God gave them food. When they were thirsty, God gave them water. When they were slaves in Egypt, God reached down and brought them out. But we kind of like to be our own masters. We like to be in control of our own lives. It is hard to live with the constant reminder of the reality that we are utterly dependent on God. It is hard to trust. And so the people grumbled. They spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt? To die in the wilderness? There is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. The people grumbled. They longed for the way it used to be. Let's go back to the way things were, you know, back in Egypt. We know that impulse too, don't we? If we just went back. Back to a time when I felt more in control. Back to a situation where I felt like I knew what was going to happen. Back to a time when I didn't have to trust someone else so much. If I just didn't have to trust God so much. If we just didn't have to be so dependent. This is what the people grumbled about their God. And God responded. The Lord sent venomous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. I think that there is some truth to the reality that a culture of complaining can poison a community, especially a faith community, from the inside out. And in some sense, the snakes simply make physical the spiritual poisoning that is already taking place. But, and it is a big but, I've got to be honest. I don't like the idea of God sending the serpents to kill God's own people. I don't like God sending serpents to kill any people. God causing suffering among those who are grumbling and complaining, those who have forgotten the Lord's deliverance. This is where we begin to wrestle with this scripture, at least where I begin to wrestle with this scripture. God causing suffering, even suffering that is the result of righteous judgment, even suffering that is there because of sin or because of a lack of trust in or reliance on God, that still doesn't sit right with me. I don't like it. I don't want to admit that it's there. I don't want it to be in our Bible, proclaimed in pulpits across the country this morning. But even in this, there is a strange truth. One that you know, and that I know, and that God apparently recognizes our sin. This story reminds us why that's important. God takes sin seriously. It's not a small thing. It's not a, we're basically good people, so it's all going to come out in the wash kind of thing. God causing suffering in response to sin? Wow. That hurts. And it wrestles with my own sense of compassion, my own knowledge of the many, many innocent people who suffer. But sometimes, suffering brings us back to God. Sometimes it leads us to repentance. And like it or not, repentance is necessary. The season of Lent doesn't let us forget that. Repentance is necessary. There are a myriad of ways we sin. Especially the sin of not trusting in God's provision. We show our lack of trust in our constant busyness, even when it makes us soul sick. We show our distrust in God's provision in our incredible waste of resources, our degradation of the earth, our attempts to bring nature under our control rather than working alongside it to provide for our needs. And that lack of trust in God causes harm and suffering to us and to others, many times to others who are much more vulnerable than we. Repentance is necessary. Repentance from our lack of trust is necessary. And sometimes, suffering brings us back to God. I don't like it, but you know it, and I know it, and God knows it. So Moses prays for the people, and the Lord hears his prayer. God tells Moses to make a poisonous serpent and set it up on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live. So Moses made a serpent of bronze, like a statue of a serpent, and he raises it up, nails it to a wooden pole or something, and raises it high, right there in the middle of the camp, right in the middle of the community, so that no matter where you are, you can see it. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. God hears Moses' prayer and provides a way out. It's miraculous, and it's wonderful, and it works. But he left the snakes. They prayed for God to take away the snakes, to take away the poison and the pain. God caused the snakes to come in the first place. Surely God could have caused the snakes to leave. Surely a simple snap of the fingers from the creator of the universe is all it would have taken. They repented and they asked, but he didn't do it. He left the snakes. The passage doesn't tell us why. We don't get to be inside the Lord's head on this one. I don't know why. Other than perhaps God wanted the people to remember that, like it or not, they were dependent on God. I don't know why God doesn't just remove all the suffering from around us when we get baptized. I don't know why our repentance and our changing doesn't always change our circumstances. But like it or not, the pain, the results of sin, the desire for healing, these things reminded the Israelites that they were dependent on God. Just like you. Just like me. The raised up serpent was a reminder. And the suffering, the snakes, forced the people to turn over and over again toward God. It made it harder to forget to trust, harder to see themselves as anything but dependent. I don't know why he left the snakes. But it is true to my experience of life. God doesn't always answer my prayers the way I wish God would. When I repent and come back to God, the suffering doesn't always go away. My life is so full of blessings, and I am grateful. But it is also a strange mixture of grief and joy, hope and despair, living and dying, suffering. And salvation. And I would guess I'm not alone in that mixture. Over the last several weeks, we have talked about our relationship with God in terms of covenant, in terms of God's promises to us and our promises to God. And this scripture text reminds us that relationships based on covenant are messy and not perfect. In the very first week of Lent, during the children's story, Ben pointed to his wedding ring as a symbol of covenant. And oftentimes in Scripture, the covenant of God with the people of Israel is compared to a marriage. Wendell Berry has a great poem about marriage, one that I find helpful when I'm thinking about not just my marriage to Ben, but about living in covenantal relationship with God, living in covenantal relationship with church. And so I invite you to hear Brother Wendell's words in light of your own relationship to God. Marriage. It is to be broken. It is to be torn open. It is not to be reached and come to rest in ever. I turn against you. I break from you. I turn to you. We hurt and are hurt and have each other for healing. It is healing. It is never whole. I suspect you know this in your own lives. Perhaps you know it in your marriages or in your moments of repentance. You know the turning, the reaching, the healing. We know this to be true. We know that love and pain and healing all mingle together in our lives. They mingle together in our relationship with God and our relationships with one another. And perhaps this story shows us that love and pain and healing all mingle together in God's heart as well. God left the serpents. God left the snakes. But God provided healing for the bite, a way to redeem the suffering. It's mysterious and not always comforting, but it's honest and true. God left the snakes, but took away the sting.